Jeremiah, let's get this. Jeremiah chapter 17, and let's begin reading in verse number 19. Pay special attention to verse 26 when we get there. Jeremiah chapter 17, and let's start with verse 19. Thus saith the Lord unto me, Jeremiah says, thus saith the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem. And say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein, then shall ye enter into the gates of this city, kings and princes, then shall enter into the gates of this city, kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, and men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come forth from the cities of Judah, and from the places about Jerusalem, and from the land of Benjamin, and from the plain, and from the mountains, and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, and meat offerings and incense, and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. But if ye will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. I think from verse 26, you read through that verse and you see the scripture saying that there is a promise. This is part of the promise from verse 25, of the promise of what will happen if they would, if the children of Israel would, if Israel and Judah specifically would obey God in the command of the Sabbath as it was in the law. If they were to do that, then God's blessing would be upon them. And he says, here's part of what the blessing will be. Part of the blessing is going to be that from all these places, they're going to be bringing in the burnt offerings, the sacrifices, the meat offerings, the incense. And then it says, and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. All this other stuff is the different commanded sacrifices that were to be brought, the different commanded offerings that were to be brought. But then he says, he sums it up by saying, the sacrifice, bringing sacrifices of praise, as it says here, unto the house of the Lord. Let's think about today about sacrifices of praise brought to God's house. Sacrifices of praise brought to God's house. Last message in here in Jeremiah, we looked at verses 11 to 18, especially verse number 12, and said that man's sanctuary is God's sovereignty. In other words, when we as God's people recognize, and it's important for us to recognize how that God is completely sovereign in all things, but he wants us to see his sovereignty. He wants us to trust in his sovereignty. He wants us to depend upon him. So there's a sanctuary in the sense in the sovereignty of God, from as we read it there in, as it specifically stated there in verse number 12. And so we've got this refuge in God's sovereignty as God's people. We have this. Romans 8:28 says we have it. It says all things work together for good to them that love God, and them who are called according to his purpose. We can rest in the promises of God and in his love for us, in his favor toward us, his grace in our lives, and his absolute plan to fulfill his will in being good and showing love and doing good unto us, while at the same time glorifying his name. And now we look to this passage that says that Jeremiah is given this command from God to say, you know what? Part of trusting me is leaning upon me with your resources and everything else. Part of trusting me is praising me. Part of trusting me is, in that, at least under the law, was the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was a day in which that they set aside any of their labor, and they set aside everything in order to praise God. That was ultimately what it was about. It wasn't about animals being sacrificed or anything like that. That was part of the command because it was a picture. It was ceremonial, a ceremonial ordinance that pointed forward to another sacrifice, which was the sacrifice of Christ. But ultimately, as far as the people were concerned, the individuals were concerned, their hearts, their souls, what was being done was they were praising God. They were giving praise unto the Lord. The Lord wants us to praise Him. The Lord wants us to give praise unto Him. He wants us to exult in Him. He wants us to rejoice in Him. He wants us to have a relationship with Him in which that we see His goodness, we see and we recognize it and we respect it and we thank Him for it. We're grateful for what He's done for us. And so now we read this passage and it says, hey, all these things are to be done. So let's look at it. Let's break the passage down, first of all, and just consider what the responsibility of Jeremiah was here. And then we'll just see what he's talking about as far as verse 26 in this blessed state that he's referring to. First of all, Jeremiah was to deliver verses 19 and 20 here. Jeremiah was to deliver a message at the gates of Jerusalem there in Judah. So Jerusalem's part of the southern kingdom. It's in the southern kingdom. It's in Judah. And so we find that's ultimately, primarily, who Jeremiah was ministering to. Jeremiah was a prophet unto Judah, but at the same time, he had a lot to say unto Israel. Israel's the northern kingdom at this time. You got a divided kingdom. You got Israel, the nation of Israel, the people of the Jews, divided up into two segments, two sections, one the southern kingdom, Judah, one the northern kingdom, Israel. And Israel left first. Israel departed from God and went away from the things of God. Judah followed her sister in crime and did the same thing eventually. So Jeremiah is ministering in Judah. He's ministering in these last days during the days of Judah before the Babylonian captivity. Before God takes them all away, tears up, destroys the city, and sends them off to Babylon. So Jeremiah is to deliver a message at this time at the gates of Jerusalem. And we find here delivering the message at the gates of Jerusalem is where the people would come in and go out. It was where you'd have commerce, where you'd have, it's very public and everybody would know about it. Everybody would ultimately hear that this Jeremiah keeps giving this message. And he's going to do it at all the different gates, which means it's going to take time, which means it's not just one time that he's to deliver this message. And in fact, when you read this passage, starting there in verse number 19, we kind of find that this is over a course of time. Because he says, thus saith the Lord unto me, verse 19, go and stand at the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out, and all the gates, and in all the gates of Jerusalem. So all the gates. And say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah. How many kings were there in Judah? There was one at a time. There was one at a time. And so that seems to say that he is prophesying, and this is kind of to be a continual part of his ministry as a prophet in Jerusalem. that over a course of time, he is delivering this message. And as kings pass, as kings come up, arise, and they pass, and there's a new king that comes to be, he's still doing the same things. And he said, hey, you kings of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. So over a pretty long span of time, the Lord is mercifully warning Judah about this situation, about their disobedience to God as it pertains to the Sabbath. And so he says in verse number 21, thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. So take heed to yourself. So Jeremiah first is delivering this message at the gates of the city of Jerusalem, and the Sabbath was the subject. The Sabbath was the problem. The Sabbath was the sin that is now being pronounced, and that is now being warned about. Standing there, the Sabbath was, what was it for? Well, it was taking time out publicly, in general, to praise God. It was a day that was set aside for public worship. It was a day that was set aside, ultimately, for the praise of God in God's house, as we read there in verse number 26. But so we find here in verse 22 says, neither carry forth a burden out of your house on the Sabbath day. All this is part of the law. It's all part of the law of Moses. You can read it in Exodus. You can read it in Leviticus. You can read it in Deuteronomy. Do not do any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. So just as I've commanded your fathers, you're supposed to hallow the Sabbath day. Verse 23, weren't doing it. Their fathers didn't do it. He says, hey, you know what? Don't do like your fathers, because your fathers didn't obey me. He says, they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. So he's saying, hey, you know, part of this also, the Sabbath day is inclining their ear to God and receiving instruction from God and direction from God and from his law. And so, but he says, hey, your fathers didn't do it either, but that still doesn't lessen your responsibility. You're still responsible before God, even though your fathers didn't do it, your fathers didn't carry it out. Verse 24 and 25, Jeremiah promised God's blessings if they would obey. Now, if they would but obey and do what God said for them to do here, then God's blessings would come upon them. Now, I know that sometimes we get, there's ways in which that we can get a little bit off base as far as our doctrine is concerned, as far as what we believe the scriptures teach concerning, first of all, concerning salvation and concerning Christian life today, as to how that we are to lead our lives as God's people today. And there are, unfortunately, one of the ways in which we can get off track is to start believing that really that it doesn't matter that much whether we're obeying God, whether we're doing what God wants us to do. And it just doesn't even matter. Doesn't matter. God loves us. He's going to love us no matter what. And you know what? There's some truth to that. There's some truth to the fact that God, if we're truly the children of God, that God does love us unconditionally, and there is no separation from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But at the same time, the scriptures also teach that those that love the Lord and those who are saved by the grace of God, they have a desire to walk with God. Their heart has been changed, and they've got a desire to walk with God, and it is the Lord's will that we follow him. It is the Lord's will that we yield ourselves to him. And in fact, that what happens in the Christian life when we don't yield ourselves to the Lord God is that we find ourselves under that situation that Paul talked about in Hebrews when he says there's such a thing as the chastening hand of the Lord. It's just a simple thing, But there's such a thing as being a child of God. And as a child of God, now we are so loved by Him that some of His love is going to be tough love. That some of the love that He shows to us is going to be that when we decide we're just going to willfully walk away from Him, that He might just kind of willfully bring us back to Him. And maybe a little sternly bring us back to Him. And so we got to be careful about going down a path. You need to be careful about the kinds of doctrine that are out there and the teachings that are out there of going down a path that basically says it doesn't matter at all how we, whether we serve God, whether we're obeying the Lord God, that we're just all about just accepting ourselves and accepting our sin, accepting ourselves, forgiving ourselves, loving ourselves, and it's all just about making sure that we feel good about ourselves. Well, it isn't just about making sure we feel good about ourselves. It is about making sure that God is pleased with us, that God is pleased in our life. And, you know, that's what a Christian's about. That's what a child of God is about. A child of God's been delivered from the wrath to come, from God's wrath. A child of God's been delivered from the rest of the world, from their sin, and is now knows that they have a standing eternal with the Lord through Jesus Christ and through His sacrifice. So what is our heart? Our heart is a tearful gratitude that says, Lord, what would you have me to do? Like Paul said when he was saved, when he was struck down the road to Damascus, he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It isn't the Lord coming upon us and having to force us in any way. We have a heart desirous to please the Lord. And then we find ourselves, what happens? We find ourselves in great joy and rejoicing as God's people, even through tribulation. Troubles are going to happen in this life for everybody, for everyone that walks with God. Sometimes more than for others. But what we find, though, is that nonetheless that there's joy that's had in the Christian life when we're close to the Lord, when we're in communion with Him. Being close to Him is following Him. Being close to Him is listening to Him. Being close to Him is praying to Him. Being close to Him is being with His people. It's coming together when He says, hey, I'm going to meet together with you. That's all part of drawing near to the Lord. And He says, you draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. And so we have this relationship as God's people that develops a fellowship with God whereas we mature, we want to do what the Lord wants us to do. We want to please. We're looking for ways. We're not doing what, I can't remember the guy's name, but anyway, there was an old comedian years gone by, W.C. Fields, is that right? W.C. Fields? I think that was his name. But anyway, he's a comedian, and of course he was not a godly man, and he would always say, you know, that he's always reading the scriptures, you know, to try to find all the loopholes, okay? And that was his impression of good into the Word of God, is studying it deeply so that he can find all the loopholes. Well, as God's people, that's not the attitude of the child of God. The attitude of the child of God is to be honest before God. The attitude of the child of God is to love God. We love Him. And if we love Him, then we want to do what He wants us to do. And you know what? It makes sense that we want to rejoice in Him. And because rejoicing in Him is better than any other kind of rejoicing. There's no joy that's a greater joy than the joy that the Lord gives to us. And so as a child, as the children of God, we want to be grateful. We want to, in every little way, in all the things that He gives to us, and all the ways that He blesses us, whether they're little things or whether they're bigger things, we want to rejoice in Him when we want to do something that the Scripture talks about here, and that is praise Him. We want to give Him praise. We want to offer to Him a sacrifice. And that sacrifice is a sacrifice of praise, as the Scripture is talking about here, as Jeremiah is talking about how that part of the blessing would be that they be praising Him. Verse 24, part of the blessing is, it'll come to pass if you diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden. You're going to do what I say on the concerning the Sabbath day. Then shall there enter into the gates of the city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, and multiple at the same time, but it's different ones. Riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes and men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, this city shall remain forever. So, hey, it'll never be destroyed. Everything will be fine. I'll bless it, and it'll remain forever if you're obedient. If you're obedient, if you follow me, if you're close to me. Verse 27, let's go down to verse 27. And we see that Jeremiah also promised. He says, hey, here's what will happen if you don't. We're going to just tell you. We're going to stand out in the gate, and it's going to be unpopular to everybody. When they hear this part of the message, they're going to want to get rid of Jeremiah. But if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I'll kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. It shall not be quenched. I'm just going to destroy it. I'm going to destroy Jerusalem. And you know what happened to Jerusalem? Unfortunately, what verse 27 says. That's what happened. That's what ultimately happened. The Babylonians came in and destroyed. So God said, hey, if you'll do this, then everything will be fine. If you don't, then there's going to be consequences for it. But verse 26, Jeremiah promises a very blessed state. And he is saying there that if you do, that there's going to be kings and everything's going to be well. And all the folks around Jerusalem and everybody that's coming in and going out and everything, what's going to be seen there is bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. You know those burnt offerings and the incense and all that stuff? It's gone. Christ Jesus fulfilled all that for us. That doesn't apply to me today. I don't in any sense accept any kind of a doctrine, any kind of a theory, any kind of a doctrine of salvation that involves works, that involves personal sacrifice to gain salvation, to get there. Don't accept any kind of, that's another gospel. That's another gospel, and the Word of God warns us not to receive another gospel. Anybody comes to you with another gospel, don't receive him. Don't listen to him. Let him be accursed. It was John's words. Tough words, but it's another gospel. You want to teach that salvation is by some ordinance? We're going to have a baptism, Lord willing, next Sunday from Tabernacle. One fellow's coming to unite himself with the church and has known the Lord for a long time, but needs to be baptized, and he's going to plug into the church there, the local church, and that's all good and well, but I guarantee you, you'll hear from Brother Mel that baptism has nothing to do with salvation, that it is not the means of salvation. It does not wash away your sins. It does not do anything to cleanse you, to make your heart right with God. You already must be right with God before that baptism, and that baptism is to declare publicly that you've been made right with God, and to declare publicly that you arise to walk in newness of life, not in the baptismal waters, but physically, spiritually, you've already risen, been risen by the Lord to walk in newness of life. How? Through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is pictured in baptism. Baptism, a picture of our life through the gospel, through what Jesus Christ did on the cross and was buried and it was raised again, according to the scripture. So that's what it is. Works is not the means, is never the means of salvation. Being good has never been the means of salvation, biblically. And so teachings that say, hey, you know, that it's all about just being good, and if you're a good person that you'll make it to heaven, then unfortunately, God's word does not teach that. It teaches rather that there's a gospel. It teaches that there is a good news, and that good news is one that says you can't and don't do anything to be right with God. You simply come to Christ. You simply see him as your all-sufficient Savior. You simply see him as the only way to be right with God. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, hey, there's no other way than the way of Christ. And so we look at this passage and we say, hey, there's some things here that have passed away, have gone away, and we're not Sabbath keepers in the sense of the law is concerned, but we as God's people still are those who offer the sacrifice of praise. We're still those who are offering that sacrifice of that hasn't passed away. That hasn't gone away at all. As a matter of fact, we find in the New Testament that that is something that is that's part of the blessed state of God's people. We're not to, according to Hebrews chapter 10, if you want to look there, Hebrews the 10th chapter, that we're not to be those, we're not to neglect our opportunities to praise the Lord publicly. In Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse number 23, start with verse 23 and we'll read down to verse 31. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. See, we've got faith, we have saving faith, we know the Lord is our Savior. So let's hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. So we can trust him. And so we can hold fast because we can trust him. He's faithful. And let us, what else should we do? Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Okay, let's think not just about ourselves, but let's think about other saints of God, other children of God. And let's realize that we all need to be encouraged. That there's a need for encouragement. There's a need for us to edify one another. There's a need for us to just be there. Just to be there with one another. Sometimes just being there in the presence of one another is a blessed thing. It's a wonderful thing. I mean, you know, never do go visit somebody that has a health problem. Wonder, you know, well, do you love them or not? Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good. So he's talking about children of God and just in general, provoking one another to love and good works. How do I do that? Well, it's not about being mean to them. It's not about... But if you're going to want them to love you and love the Lord and love one another and do good works, it's not hammering them. It isn't beating them up. It's encouraging them and being an example and being there and being a testimony and being something for them to look at. Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Verse 25, not, and he says on the negative side, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now he's not saying that if there's ever a time that we're not in the house of God, that that's a problem. No, he's not saying that. He's saying don't ultimately forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So he's talking about being with God's people. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So he's saying, hey, don't leave aside the worship of the Lord. Don't just set that aside. Don't quit. That's the problem that was the problem with the Hebrews. They were wanting to give up because they're going through a lot of trouble because of serving the Lord. And he says, no, he said, you know, it's going to cost. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be trials. You're going to have to give things up. But that's okay. And verse number 26 says, for if we sin willfully, after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. So it kind of sounds like what Jeremiah was warning about in the Old Testament. But he says, he that despised Moses' law, so he looked back to what Jeremiah was referring to when he says, the fathers didn't obey me. They despised my law, the law. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. But then he says to us, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy? And he didn't say, shall he receive? Because the Lord's not going to burn us. The Lord is not going to. His children, he's going to love them forever, and he is not going to bring this kind of punishment upon us. He says, but how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Don't you think that when you're willfully walk away from God and you don't want to do what's God's will, don't you think there's going to be some kind, don't you think you're at least worthy of some kind of consequences? Yeah, you're worthy of it. You're worthy of it. The blood of Christ covers you, but you're still worthy of it. It's like you shouldn't be doing that. It's an awful shame. It says, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. But then he goes on to talk about how that they're kept and how that they're provided for. So what we find here is that when we think about the Lord's will and we think about what his purpose is in our lives as his people, there's a sense in which a big part of our life is to be praising God, praising him. In chapter 13 of Hebrews, okay, sorry, I should have told you to stay in Hebrews. Hopefully somebody did. Hebrews chapter 13, because I didn't, verse 15 and 16, it says, by him, therefore, and this is the context. Let's just throw in some context here. He says, verse number 7, he's talking about the pastors. He says, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. There's a sense in which the pastors have the rule over them in the sense of delivering the word of God. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Verse 24, salute them that have the rule over you. So, okay, see, context, he's talking about a church, and he's talking to at least a church and possibly multiple churches when he's writing in the book of Hebrews. So that's kind of the context we're reading about. We're talking about a local congregation of believers here in this particular place. Chapter 13, verse 15 and 16. Verse 15 says, by him, by Christ, let us offer the sacrifice, what? Of praise to God. That's what Jeremiah was talking about. He says, sacrifices of praise. He said, if they do what I'm asking them to do, they're going to be bringing sacrifices of praise into the house of God. And Hebrews says, the writer of the book of Hebrews says, by him, by Christ, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Just giving thanks to the Lord. Come into the house of God, singing the praise unto the Lord, praying, giving God glory, our hearts being lifted up. Maybe it's not the lips of our body as much as the lips of our heart. Lifted up in praise to God, want to rejoice in the Lord, but coming together to do so. He says, but he says, that's primarily, there's the big thing. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So he says, even in the New Testament, there is the communicating, that's giving, and doing good and giving. He says, don't forget about those. Those are sacrifices God is well pleased too. But he still says, here's the primary thing. Give praise to God. Give praise to God. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. We've been in 1 Peter on Sunday afternoons. In 1 Peter, and we're getting back there again today. But 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, ye also, talks about the Lord as being a living stone. And he says, but we're also lively stones, living stones. You also are, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. Okay, so in other words, how are stones made into a house? Stones are made into a house with mortar, right? I mean, you take this stone and you put this stone on the other stone, but you don't just stack them up, because if that's all you did, then they're all going to come down pretty easily, pretty fast. But, I mean, you stack too many of them and they're going to just fall as you're trying to stack them. There's mortar. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. Okay? So there's this house, and there's a building up of this house from each individual child of God that's being built into a house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice. There's the sacrifices again, but they're spiritual sacrifices that he's referring to here, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And so he says, hey, these are sacrifices that are offered up to God by Christ, through Christ. Because what Christ has done for us, we yield ourselves unto him, and we offer up the sacrifice of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We offer up the sacrifice of praise that Jeremiah is talking about here in this passage. And so, praise him. Praise him. Praise him publicly. Praise him. As a child of God, be, you know, like I say, we got somebody that's going to be baptized. See the importance of being plugged in, if you will, to the house of God and being built up, part of that to offer up praise to God, being part of it. And so we look at that and we say, hey, that's part of what the Lord wants us to do today. We look back at Jeremiah and we say, hey, a whole different set of circumstances back then as it pertained to the law of Moses. But as it pertains to us, there's some things about being obedient to the Lord and walking with the Lord and just wanting to be close to him, wanting to praise him, wanting to give him the glory that's due to his name, wanting to encourage one another to do the same thing. And so as you look at this passage, I just was struck with the words here in verse number 26 when he said, bringing, here's part of the blessing that's going to happen if they were to really just get in tune with God and get close to the Lord. Here's what would happen. They'd be bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. And I believe that that as God's people, we can do that very thing today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us today. Thank you for the opportunity that you give us, Lord, to look into your word, speak to our hearts through it, use it to your glory and honor. And Lord, lead us as you see fit. And we pray your blessings now and ask that you might help us to walk with you as we ought. And Lord, lead us that we'd see that the primary responsibility that we have as children of God, as we come to the house of God, is to praise you, is to give to you the praise that you're worthy of. And we just pray that you might bless us, Lord, that as we come into the house, that as we make preparations to come to your house, that you might help us to prepare our hearts with that praise that we're bringing unto you. And we'll give you the glory and the honor for it all, and pray that you'd help us to encourage one another in these days. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.